Welcome to the Pulpit Ministry of Christ Community Church in South Florida, aiming to make, mature, and multiply disciples by preaching and teaching God's Word based on the sufficiency of Scripture. And now, let's join our preacher for the message.
Good morning, Christ Community Church. Again, happy Father's Day to all of us here today and everyone listening online. We got cupcakes and we got flashlights for those fathers that came in. We nailed it. Food and tools. I love it. I love it. I love it. Like I said, blessed to be in the house of the Lord today. And as I was thinking about Father's Day, I always, shame on me, I always like to compare Mother's Day versus Father's Day. And I always see how much more advertising and social media and reminders we get for Mother's Day versus Father's Day, right? It's kind of like Mother's Day, Olive Garden, Father's Day, Church's Chicken, right? And so I was like, let me do some research. I started Googling, like, are there actual stats, statistics, just to share as an opener with you guys. But I didn't find anything. All I found was a funny comment on a blog post that said, the reason you see more campaigns, commercials, and direct mailers ads for Mother's Day versus Father's Day, it's so that we, Dad, don't forget to buy a gift for Mom. Ha, 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 right? Forgetful Dad, right? We need more reminders to buy our gifts versus Mom. Mom is more attentive. So I just laughed it out. But the more I thought about it, it did come to mind to me how sometimes, as dads, we are passive, right? In other words, we have and adopt a passive mentality. And we live in a society that does not help with that at all because it provides so much entertainment that we have access to, so many distractions, right? And everything is also so transactional, right? Instant gratification every single day that it's easy for a man to fall into this trap of passivity, right? Especially when leading at home, right? And this is something that the culture kind of incentivizes and always brings it up. Like I heard a comedian once say that fathers at home were like the backup quarterback of a football team. Right? Who knows the backup quarterback for the Dolphins? David's like, nobody, right? Nobody. Meaning that we're on the team, but we're not the leader, right? When the backup quarterback gets on the field, we get nervous. We're like, what's going to happen here, right? Meaning that dad don't got it, right? Meaning that dad is not in control. Meaning that dad can't lead us as a family to victory. And I know it's a joke, right? But that is the image that the world, especially here in the U.S., that's the image that gets cultivated and ingrained in our minds, right? That dad don't got it, right? And we live in a time where even mocking fatherhood is okay and funny, right? And we actually now hear less and less, right? So we thought we were getting a lot of love, dads. June is Pride Month, so it's all about Pride Month this month, right? Parades, festivals, they get the whole month, right? And kind of fatherhood takes the back burner here in America. But this is something that we have to cultivate, right? This is something that as a family we have to cultivate and pray for our fathers, right? And the reason being that is God selected men to lead home, right? It's important for God, for us to stand in that throne, to lead our family. So as a church, as a family, we have to cultivate that. Pray for our dads, right? Pray for the dads to be, right? Many dads to be here today, right? In 1 Timothy 3:4, it says he must manage his own household well, right? Meaning he must be a good steward. He must manage his home well. But unfortunately, being a good steward in this society today means nothing. Because the world would rather celebrate a passive man, a passive mentality, right? A man with multiple baby mamas, right? Or an athlete that owns you on a Sunday, right? They own the field, right? They supersede on the field, but they fail at home as being a husband and a dad. So we have to change our mindset, right? And that is the type of behavior that gets encouraged. The Bible is full of stories of how men fall and how that impacts us, right? And Bernie mentioned a lot of this last week, right? We spoke about what happened to Adam, right? When he was passive in terms of Eve and how she gave him the forbidden fruit and they ate of it. And because of that fruit that God commanded them not to, sin was brought into our world. And ever since then, we are struggling with being passive. Another example is when Sarah, when she couldn't give birth to a child, and she took it into her own hands, right? Abraham took the back seat and said, okay, I'll impregnate your servant, right? That's another example of being passive. And even Bernie, again, brought it again last week with Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias had a passive mindset in terms of how they managed their finance together. And we saw, last week we talked about, we saw how God acted to his sinful nature and passiveness. When we are passive in our obedience to the Lord, when we are passive as fathers at home, there are consequences. There are consequences. And this is exactly where we find ourselves today with this passage in chapter 13. And as we get into chapter 13, I just want to recap a little bit to get everyone up to speed and turn what's been happening in David's life, right? We know in chapter 11, David has this famous incident with Bathsheba, right? And even still, right, even with that fall, God gave him mercy, right? God forgave him sin, but there's still consequences, right? There's still consequence that follows him, right? So in chapter 12, David's returning back from Jerusalem, and he thinks that everything's great. I covered my sin up until the prophet Nathan came to him with a message from God. And today, we will see how that message plays out. We will also learn from King David's posture in being passive in terms of how his passiveness, how it impacted him as a father, right, in dealing with home, especially with dealing with his two sons, Absalom, and his daughter, Tamar. The message for today is for you fathers and fathers-to-be, and even us as believers, right, is for encouragement. It's for encouragement to not be like the David of this particular passage, but to be more as the title of this message, which is called A Godly Father. A Godly Father. So let's get into the story of David. And for the record, this text that we're going to read is a bit mature, right, in terms of the sin that's being dealt with. So I want to give you caution with that. But it is in Scripture, and we are called to preach from it and cover it. So I just want to give you that heads up. So let's go and read the Scripture again in verse 21. It says, when King David heard of all these things, he was very angry. But Absalom spoke to Amnon, neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon because he had violated his sister Tamar. So as we read those two verses, we immediately know that something tragic happened within the royal family. Questions to just ask ourselves, how do we get to this point? How do we get to this situation of incest within family? How do two brothers come to hate one another? Why was David so angry about? How did David lose control of managing his household as a father? So in order to answer these questions, let's peel back a little bit and let's go back and follow this passage and this story that starts in verse 1, chapter 13, verse 1. It says, now Absalom, David's son, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar. And after a time, Amnon, David's son, loved her. And Amnon was so tormented that he made himself ill because his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, seemed impossible to Amnon to do anything with her. So here we see how Amnon was infatuated with his half-sister, so much to the point that he was tormented. He was losing sleep. He was frustrated. This so-called love, right, was the focus of the desires of his heart. Not even Tamar's beauty, right? It was not even the person, but her beauty had captured him and blinded him. Reminder for us as men, as fathers, all of us as believers, we have to be very careful and wise in terms of what consumes our heart, what consumes our desires, what are the things that we idolize, what are the things that we feel that we need to have. Everyone's had that one thing. I gotta have this. I need to get this. This goes for men, women, all of us here. In the case of Amnon, he was hooked. He was hooked. For Adam and Eve, as we mentioned before, were blinded by the fruit. The Bible quotes it as a delight to their eyes. And as we know it, that same light, that same delight, was the beginning of sin. So we have to be wise and repent of any sin that has become the delight of our eyes. If we go to Luke 11:34, it says, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, meaning what's coming in, your whole body is full of light. What are we injecting? What are we watching? What are we seeing? What are we listening? But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful. Let the light in you be darkness. So straightforward and just simple question for us this morning is, how dim or how bright is the light inside of us? Amnon being tormented by the beauty of his sister, that was not the light. That was darkness. And we might be sitting here this morning asking ourselves, hey, Brother Rob, what does this have to do with Father's Day? What does this have to do with fatherhood? And point number one for this message for fathers and fathers-to-be and everyone in attendance is that a godly father practices and teaches self-control. Like father, like son. Remember King David's situation with Bathsheba? Who else was blinded by beauty? Who else committed atrocious things because they had to have it at that particular time? Who else lacked self-control? Who else was filled with darkness and got hooked on the shininess and beauty that was in front of them? As fathers, fathers-to-be, we need to know that while sin may be forgiven by God, it always leaves a mark. It always leaves a stain. At home, we have to cultivate and encourage a culture of self-control. We don't have to have it all the time. I love this Proverbs 25:28 reminds us, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Let's not live our lives. I always like to use this analogy. I call it the Burger King mindset, right? We can't have it our way all the time. You guys ever seen Burger King? Like, their marketing strategy is crazy, right? Like, one day they're selling you nuggets, tenders, cold subs, hot dogs. They're all over the place. They have no boundaries. They have no boundaries. So, like I said, a city without walls is a man whose spirit has no restraint and no boundaries. With so much that's accessible to us today, with so much that we have available to us. It's extremely hard. It's extremely hard. And compared to this situation back then with David, they probably had a little easier. But this is where fatherhood comes in. This is where parenting comes in. This needs to be practiced daily, especially if we have little ones. Because it gets older. It gets harder as we get older. As fathers, we have to be mindful that whatever we don't address now, whatever we let slide, whatever we tuck under the mattress, it's going to come back. It's going to come back to get us. If you're a man or a young boy or a girl, the time to practice self-control is now. Now is when you start practicing self-control. For those that are courting, now is when you start practicing self-control. Kids, young adults listening today, this is very important. Understand why the hesitation with your parents and smartphones and social media. Understand where they're coming from. This one device can be deadly. Can be deadly for your spiritual life. We have to use with caution because it can be deadly to your spiritual life. It is literally the gateway to all worldly and shiny things that are out there. And I'm just going to share this, that sometimes we focus a lot on the object, right? But it's not the object that's necessarily bad, right? It's how we use it, how we misuse it, or how we idolize it, right? Tamar, she's not a sin, right? Your job may not be the sin, right? You wanting to make more money is not necessarily a sinful thing. You wanting to do more in ministry is not bad. You wanting to use a phone is not bad. You wanting to court date is not necessarily bad. However, when we covet something, again, that you feel that you need to have, that you must have it, it becomes a distraction with God, right? It separates us from the Lord. So we have to be very, very careful. We have to be very, very careful. The sin was Abner falling in this behavior of sexual immorality. And again, we spoke last week how much God detests this sin. So I just want to encourage fathers this morning and parents to be, to not be passive when it comes to practicing self-control, especially with dealing with sexual immorality. If you have struggled or are struggling like David and you feel like you fell short, repent and ask for forgiveness to the Lord and be diligent to warn your kids, to guide their steps. Amen? So let's continue. Let's retract and go back to verse 3 as we continue this passage to see what else we can learn from David in this situation that he's dealing with. And it says in verse 3, but Abner had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. Basically, this is his cousin. And Jonadab was very crafty. And he said to him, O son of the king, why are you so haggard? Morning after morning, meaning, why are you looking so unwell? Why do you look like you're suffering? Will you not tell me? So Abner said to him, I love Tamar, my brother's Absalom's sister. Notice how Abner, he's already disguising his sin. He's saying, he's referencing Tamar as Absalom's sister, not his sister, right? In verse 5, it says, Jonadab said to him, well, why don't you lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill? When your father comes to see you, just tell him, hey, let my sister Tamar come and give me bread and eat and prepare the food in my sight that I may see it and eat from the hand. So to recap really quick, basically in this part of the passage, Abner's cousin gives him this great advice, right? He devises a plan, a scheme to lie to his dad and sister in efforts to help him fulfill his sinful desires. Who else in the Bible is described as a crafty liar? Crafty liar. Satan, the deceiver of the world. Again, another reminder for us as dads and all believers in terms of teaching our kids, gaining godly wisdom and discernment. And this is point number two for godly fathers to be. A godly father is attentive to sound wisdom and discernment. A godly father is always seeking God's word. A God-fearing father is always constantly searching and growing in wisdom. Again, Abner was so blinded by his sin and desires that he had no hesitation to not follow through on this terrible and horrible advice. As fathers, as parents, how are we preparing our kids for sound wisdom? How are we preparing ourselves? Are we making ourselves available to them? Can they come to us for counsel? Are we teaching them to seek for answers in God's word? Are we being intentional about involving ourselves in their lives? Are we being too busy? Will they come to us for advice? Clearly, Abner listened to the wrong person. Clearly, he didn't go to dad first. Again, mom, dad, will your child seek your advice first rather than the world? How confident are you that they'll come to you first? God's word reminds us to be sober-minded, to be watchful, that our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That someone can be you and I at any given time. We have to be guarded. We have to be protected. No days off, no time off. This is a constant reminder that we need to have every day. We need to guard ourselves daily. We need to shower ourselves every single day with the word of God. Dad, don't let this be your family. We know that in this passage, who Abner decided to follow. And as a result, we'll see in verse 6 how Abner follows through with this wicked plan that lies to his dad and tells him that he is sick and that he needs his sister. So in verse 7, here comes dad. Then David sent home Tamar saying, go to your brother Abner's house and prepare food for him. So Tamar went to her brother's Amnon's house when she was lying down. And again, questions to ask ourselves always when we read scripture. Ask yourself questions. Why was David so easy manipulated in this situation? Right? Because that's what I thought. I was like, why was he so easy? Doesn't he have thousands of servants in this castle? Why would his son want his sister at that particular time? Right? Was it because Abner had favor as the oldest son? Was it David's own guilt from his old sin? Was it that he was just busy? Nonetheless, whatever the excuse was, because it is an excuse, David was passive in this situation and was easily manipulated. Tamar, on the other hand, follows her dad's instruction. She goes to her brother's aid, Abner, and being completely blinded by his sin, he takes advantage of her. When parenting, when in our walk in Christ, we cannot afford to be held hostage by our own sin or shortcoming. And we will see why. Let's go to verse 17. Let's fast forward to verse 17. We will see why. In verse 17, it says, Abner called the young man who served him and said, put this woman away out of my presence and bolt the door after her. So after Abner got what he wanted, after he fulfilled his cravings, he forcefully ejects his sister out of his house. Say, take her away. Take her away. And by the way, we got to be cautious. Those of us that are courting, in love and all this happens all the time. Be wise. This is where counsel comes. This is where the relationship with your parents come. Be wise, right? Amnon's action here was it like almost as if he's trying to cover his sin, but also more like he just didn't want to be reminded of what just happened. So he sends her away. Remember what I said before about us being hostage of our own sin. Again, like father, like son. I mean, as I was reading it, it just took me back to David, right? When David wanted to cover his tracks, right? After sleeping with Bathsheba and knowing she was pregnant, what does he? He comes up with a plan. He comes up with a plan, calls her husband, right, to cover his tracks, right? Tries to convince him, hey, spend the night with your wife, right? But it was all to cover his tracks, right? And ultimately, that leads to murder. And just like David, Amnon went on sin covering mode versus repenting and asking for forgiveness. When we're held hostage by our sin, we don't seek repentance. Point number three for fathers to just take home and work on. And if you're doing this, more power to you. A godly father sheds light on his sin and repents. We don't hide away. We don't walk away from it. Amnon was like, hey, I got what I wanted. I'm good. Send her away. I can't bear to see her. The worldly view tells you to cover your tracks and hide your garbage. The Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, if he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The spirit of the age will tell you, hey, it's okay. Abort that baby because of our immorality. Hide your tracks. The word of God, on the other hand, sheds light in our darkness. Fathers, we must be awake. We must be diligent and awake, not woke, but awake. Ephesians 5, I got to clarify. I know I have to clarify. Ephesians 5, 11 through 14 says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. That's what we ought to do. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. So my encouragement is, let's remain awake, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's remain awake. Let's hold each other accountable to remain awake. Let's check in on one another to remain awake. Let's pray for one another to remain awake. Let's let the word of God shine in our soul. Let the word of God shine our path. Amen. When we sin, there's only two choices. When we sin, there's only two choices. We can either hide it or try to hide it from God, or we can confess it. That's it. One or two. We hide or we confess. Proverbs 28:13. People who conceal their sin will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. Amen for that. And we just have to come to our senses that, do we really think we can hide our sin from God? He's all knowing. He knows our thoughts. He knows our desires. From whom? Who are we trying to cover our sin to? If we're struggling with this, a great avenue to confess our sin can be doing our prayer call every Thursday. Another option can be just spending time alone with God, your one-on-one time with God. Another option can be come talk to one of your pastors. Either way, do not be kept hostage by your sin or shortcoming. Seek. That's why the church is here. That's why the body is here. That's why we're here. Let's go to verse 21, and this will be my fourth and final point. Verse 21, it says, when King David heard of all these things, he was very angry. David was angry, folks. So after all this happened, this calamity happened that occurred with Tamar, all the text tells us is that he heard of what happened. Dad heard what happened. Dad got angry. He was upset. However, no indication that he rebuked his son for his action. Mind you, this is the king. Point number four for fathers to be and fathers in attendance. A godly father disciplines his kids. A godly father disciplines his kids. And again, we see the passive approach from David. And this was a reminder for me as a parent. Getting angry, raising our voices at our kids do not equal to discipline. You ever caught yourself yelling? I know. In fact, when we have that outburst, that yelling, that's really our sin on our end. Lack of self-control. We're acting more like a child than them. Arguing and letting things by do not equal to discipline. Bernie spoke a little bit about it last week in terms of his family, right? For them, lying was a big no-no, right? In the Diaz family, right? A lot of pow-pow, right? No lying, right? David, he lacked discipline in this area, in this time in his life. He lacked discipline. In fact, I was reading about it, how his son Solomon wrote so much about this, about the importance of discipline, because he saw it. He saw how he lacked, right? He wasn't a disciplinarian. And he didn't say anything to Abner. We can look at Proverbs 13:24. It says, whoever spares the rod hates his son. But he who loves him is diligent to discipline. But he who loves. When it comes to correcting our child's misbehavior, and this was a learning for me as well, there's a big difference in terms of how we see it, right? There's a difference between punishment and discipline. Two separate things, punishment and discipline. When we're punishing, when we're in punishing mode, right, we're focusing on making a child suffer for breaking the rules, right, or embarrassing us as parents, right? I know that's happened to me, right? But discipline is about teaching them to make better choices, to make a better choice next time. That is what we call discipleship. That is what Bernie was talking about last week. That's what we spoke about last week in terms of church discipline, church discipleship. The world teaches you to punish, but God teaches us to disciple one another. And for background, the words discipline, disciple, they come from the Latin term. And my wife is going to love this because she's studying Latin. Words, discipulos, disciplina, right? Disciplina, that means instruction, training, right? It's described as a system, right? There's a system in place. David didn't have the system in place at that time to train his boys. Question for us to just reflect, how is our system training? And again, we describe it as a system because it doesn't just happen. Discipline doesn't magically happen from one day to the next. It's a process. It requires perseverance. It requires prayer. It requires connecting with the body of Christ. It requires reading scripture. It requires many, many things. I know parents here with older kids will testify that it requires work. It requires work. One of the things I love about being in this church is that I get to see, all right, who's modeling? Who can I model? Who's doing it right? I always think about the first time I came to visit Christ Community Church at our other location. And we were sitting way in the back. I was like, all right, I don't want to interrupt. I didn't know anything about integrated church and all of that stuff. I didn't know any of that stuff. So I just didn't want to make noise. I really have my kids. I wanted to put tape over their mouth and like duct tape them all and just sit still, right? And there were a couple families there, but definitely remember the Rizzos. And I'm like, man, 1, 2, 3, 4. How is that happening over there? How do I get that to happen here? But it was a process. It was a process. I told my wife, yeah, I don't think that's going to work for us. I can't do that. I can't have that stress every Sunday. I can't have that stress. But I remember Bernie came to me and said, hey, bro, why don't you try this little worksheet for the kids? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Monica, connecting with other moms. That's what the body's for, right? And we can put that same application with other things, right? The fact that I can come to church and I look at Bernie, George, I'm like, all right, David, he turned out all right. We'll be okay. You know, like, that's encouragement for me, right? And I hope it's encouragement for you as you are a part of this family, right? But we must lay the foundation. Otherwise, we might make terrible mistakes. Verse 22, and with this I will close, the last verse of this, what's happening here. But Absalom, Amnon's brother, spoke to Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had violated his sister Tamar, right? So to recap, David's older son, Absalom, he knew immediately what had happened to his sister. Therefore, he grew angry at both his brother Amnon and his dad David for two different things, right? He resented his dad for the lack of discipleship, the lack of leadership at home. He resented David for not addressing his brother. Remember again, David is the king of the empire. When you're the king, you're in charge of laying the law for the entire nation, right? Yet at home, David in this part of his life was weak with his own flock. Absalom was so angry at Amnon that he even planned an attack to murder him. And that's what happens in the following chapters. Absalom was so blinded, again, with pride and jealousy. Fathers, men, let's not be like David. Let's not be like David in this situation where he's a king, known as a king of an empire, but acted more like the backup quarterback at home. And I don't want you to take this as, hey, we're just bashing David all over the place, right? This is just a learning for us, right? God's given us mercy so that we can learn through this passage, right? And I'll just ask you, what is it to win at our jobs, to win at our careers, to win in our hobbies, to win in our ministries if we're losing at home? So to recap, just want to encourage everyone, especially fathers in attendance to be, fathers to be, to just remember and be intentional, to become a godly father, right? A father that's constantly practicing and teaching self-control, a father that's constantly practicing and teaching sound wisdom, searching for God's word, a father that's constantly practicing and teaching repentance, a father that's constantly practicing and teaching discipline. Do not allow society to tell you that you are not called to lead and manage your home. Do not allow sin to bring disaster and darkness at your home. As I mentioned before, if you're struggling with this, repent. If you feel like it's too late, if you feel like, Lord, I missed the opportunity to manage my kids, they're much older now, pray to the Lord for guidance. You're always going to be mom. You're always going to be dad. That will never go away. If you're a believer, a father, or a member of this church, and you're like, man, Brother Rob, I do all four. I check all the boxes. I got it. Then I encourage you to come alongside one of your brothers in Christ. Come alongside them. Take one of the younger men and shepherd them, mentor them. Help them lead the way with God's word and spirit. Help them in prayer. Help them in discipleship. Again, that's what the body is about. That's what being part of a church is all about. That's the beauty about being in this community. There is hope. There is hope. I'm not making none of this up. Bernie's not making none of it. We're just following the manual, right? This is the manual, right? Wyatt was telling me that this weekend he was trying to build something. I can't forget what it was. The point is that it took him an hour because he didn't read the manual. It happens. The manual's here. The manual's here. Let's aim, and I'll share this quote similar to what Bernie mentioned last week, but this one comes from a different approach. It says, let's aim to die before you die, so when you die, we won't die. Meaning, let's die to our flesh now, so when we die, we live in spirit. Let us pray. Let us pray.
Christ Community Church is a God-glorifying, Christ-exalting, and Bible-centered body of believers who love God and love people by making disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information on us and to learn how to give towards our media ministry, please go to our website at www.christcomchurch.org. That's Christcomchurch, C-O-M.org, and look for the Giving tab at the top of the homepage.